Our epistle lesson will also serve as our sermon text this morning from Romans chapter 3. Now, we know that whatever the law says is addressed to those who are under the law, so that every mouth will be silenced, and the whole world will be subject to God's judgment. For this reason, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by works of the law, for through the law we become aware of sin. But now, completely apart from the law, a righteousness from God has been made known. The law and the prophets testify to it. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all and over all who believe. In fact, there is no difference, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God publicly displayed as the atonement seat through faith in His blood. God did this to demonstrate His justice, since in His divine restraint He had left the sins that were committed earlier unpunished. He did this to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so that He would be both just and the one who justifies the person who has faith in Jesus. What happens to boasting, then? It has been eliminated. By what principle? By the principle of works? No, but by the principle of faith. For we conclude that a person is justified by faith without the works of the law. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Amen. Shakespeare said, "All the world's a stage," but it seems more accurate to say, "All the world is a courtroom, and all the men and women are playing judge and jury." It's so natural. It starts at a young age. Boom. Whack. Stump, 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 stump. The kids come marching in front of the parents, and they've marshaled their defenses and their accusations, right? He's wrong because he did that and hurt me. No, she's wrong because she did that and hurt me. I'm innocent. I'm innocent. It doesn't really change when you grow up, though. You think about the terror attacks a few weeks ago. Instantly, boom, something bad happened. The juries come out. Wrong side. Right side, you're wrong because of this. You're wrong because of this. I'm right because of this. I'm right because of this. And not just the two sides, but the sides that you defend. Oh, if you defend them, then you're guilty. No, if you defend them, then you're guilty. Meanwhile, the true judge, the judge of the entire universe, looks on. What does he think? This is nothing new. 500 years ago, a monk named Martin Luther, with a troubled conscience, was trying to marshal his defense before God, show how he was innocent. And so he took this crazy trip all the way to the sacred city of Rome, and he went to the sacred 28 steps. Kneel, bow, kiss, pray. Am I innocent now? Next step. Kneel, bow, kiss, pray. How about now? Two steps? More? Kneel, bow, kiss, pray. How many steps until God would find him and his loved ones innocent? What does the judge of the whole universe think? 2,000 years ago, Jews and Gentiles were trying to figure out how to live in the church together, but mostly they were trying to figure out who was better. Gentiles had a good defense. Look, we didn't have the Bible in the Old Testament. Ignorance is our excuse. That's why we broke God's laws. The Jews, meanwhile, said, "Well, we did have God's word, and so we are better than you." The judge of the whole universe looks on. What does he think? Today, he calls not just for order in the court, but he slams his gavel down and he says, "Silence." In God's court, there is no defense. There are also no accusations. And I'm forgetting my third one. And there's no boasting. There's no defense. We see that right away in Romans chapter 3. What does God say? Now we know that whatever the law says is addressed to those who are under the law, so that every mouth will be silenced and the whole world will be subject to God's judgment. For this reason, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by works of the law, for through the law we become aware of sin. Every mouth silenced, God says. No defense. That means the kids march up the stairs and they say, "You're wrong and you're wrong." And the dad says, "You're all wrong." And God looks at the universe and what does he see? People marching in front of him saying, "I'm a good person. They need to become better. No, I'm a good person. They need to become better." And God looks down and he says, "There is no one who has done good. Not even one." That's the charge from God's law, from his will for all people. He looks at it and says, "Nobody's doing it." The monk climbs step after step after step. And the judge looks down and he says, "You're on the wrong stairway. The way of peace you do not know. Jews and Gentiles accuse each other, defend themselves." And God looks down and he says, "There is no difference. All have sinned." Our sinful hearts try to justify ourselves, defend ourselves, using the same kinds of excuses. "Well, I'm better than I was yesterday," or "I was ignorant, it wasn't my fault," or "I have God's word, I'm a Christian, so I'm pretty good, right?" And God says, "Let every mouth be silent." There's no defense. And at this point, the accuser seems happy. Well, the one who likes to play accuser in the courtroom, the devil. He says, "Great, my work's done for me. They're all guilty, just like me. They all deserve punishment, just like me. Let them come with me, be separated from God and his blessings forever." But the gavel pounds down again. Silence. No accusations. Because what does God say next? "But now, completely apart from the law, a righteousness from God has been made known. The law and the prophets testify to it. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all and over all who believe. In fact, there is no difference because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." The accuser can't believe it. He thought he had him, right? The law was read. The charges were read. Everybody's guilty. But then, completely apart from the charges, a verdict is revealed. The judge opens the book and he says, "Well, look at this. All are justified. All are innocent." What? That doesn't make any sense. The law, they broke it. They need to be punished. The judge of all the earth says, "Okay, let's bring the law to the stand to talk about this righteousness from God to which the law and the prophets testify. Let's bring up Moses. He wrote a lot of the law. Moses, take the stand." And the devil says, "Moses, look at all these people. They broke all your rules. They deserve punishment." And Moses says, "Yeah, true. But you forget. My laws were pointing ahead to a prophet like me, to Jesus, who would keep these laws perfectly for them. That's the righteousness they have now." "Ah, get off the stand, Moses. How about somebody else, one of those prophets? Let's call Isaiah to the stand. Isaiah, they're all guilty, right? You yourself said their sins are like scarlet. They can't be with God." Isaiah says, yeah, I could see how you could think that. But you missed it. God said, "Come. Let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." "Ah, get out of here, Isaiah. We call someone else to the stand. Jeremiah. He's an angry prophet. Who likes reading Jeremiah? Doom and gloom all the time. Bring him up. Jeremiah, tell them how you said that human hearts are crooked all the time." And Jeremiah says, "I did say that. Yeah, the human heart is crooked and guilty. But I also said how God would give a new promise that is the forgiveness of sins, that would give people a new heart. Get out of here, Jerry. All right, let's get the next prophet. Ezekiel, he's the angriest of them all. Ezekiel, you talked about how everybody was wicked. And Ezekiel says, yeah, and they are. But you forget, I said that the judge of all the earth does not desire the death of the wicked, but that they repent and live. And they live not through their own righteousness, but through Jesus' righteousness. The accuser throws up his hands. Nothing sticks. Because the law and the prophets testify to the righteousness of God, the innocence given to us by Jesus. But then maybe we bring the objections. It's not fair, is it? For sinners to go free, deserve punishment, that doesn't make any sense. There's probably fine print. I was signing up for a free trial the other day. You read the fine print in the free trial. Free trial for 2.5 hours, and then after that, you're going to have to instantly subscribe to 5 years on a permanent contract, and it's going to be this much, and after 5 years, it's going to go up. Is that what it's like with God? You're innocent, but I'm watching you. You're innocent, but I'm going to make you suffer for it. You're innocent, but pay me back a little bit. Let's read the fine print. They are justified, here it is, freely. Oh, it's free. No, there's got to be a catch. Maybe it's free, but God is angry about it. Freely by his grace. Oh, undeserved love. He's happy to do it. But that's not fair, right? Someone has to be punished. A price needs to be paid, and it's probably me that has to pay it, right? Let's read here. Freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, he paid the price. Paid in full with his holy precious blood, his sacrifice. You want to see punishment for sin? There it is, all of it. Hell poured out. Done. Silence reigns in the court. There's no defense, but we don't need one. There's no accusation, which means that there doesn't need to be any boasting. What does Paul say at the end? What happens to boasting then? It has been eliminated. By what principle? By the principle of works? No, but by the principle of faith. For we conclude that a person is justified by faith without the works of the law. I have a buddy, it's kind of a game almost. I'm trying to get him, maybe not to boast, but to just accept a compliment. I say, oh, wow, that was a really good song. And you know what he says every time? To God be the glory. Wow, you're so good at that. To God be the glory. I like your shoes. To God be the glory. I can't get this guy to boast. Why? Because he's saved by grace. He lives by grace. I didn't do anything. To God be the glory. This is what it's like living for God, living with God. It's like those beautiful marriages. You know, they've been married for like 60 years. And you say, wow, what's your secret? And the husband says, well, where do I get started? All the things I have done for her, this and that. Man, the secret is me, how much work I put in. Well done. No, you never see that. The husband and the wife, they say, what are you talking about? We're not checking boxes saying I did my part and she did her part and that's how it works as long as you all do what you're supposed to do. No, they just live in a beautiful relationship of love. Not counting the things they do for each other, not boasting, just enjoying the relationship they have. This is what it's like when you don't need to marshal a defense before God, when you know none of the accusations can stick. You simply live for God's glory out of gratefulness for what he's done. And so, no, there's no boasting, that's silent, but you do get to talk a little bit. You get to say things like, to God be the glory. You get to say things like Daniel said when the lion's den opened. Daniel, if anybody was doomed, it was him. The king said, no praying to God, pray to me, or you're going to jail. And what did Daniel do? Well, he prayed to God. So he went to jail. The law was clear, can't be changed. You have to die. Lions are going to eat you. The accusations were there. Everybody's saying Daniel's a bad person. And what happened? When the king came the next morning, and he runs and he opens it up and he says, Daniel, has your God been able to save you? Daniel says, well, of course he did. I stuck up for him when nobody else would. I'm a pretty good person. No, he doesn't say that. He says, King, may you live forever. Don't worry about it. My God, he shut the mouths of the lions. My God, he found me innocent. That's what we get to say in this courtroom. 2,000 years ago, Jew and Gentile, who's better? Our God has found us innocent. In that, we are equal. A monk finds out that he doesn't have to climb sacred steps, but that Jesus is his stairway to heaven through faith, and he can stand before God and say, my God has found me innocent. Today, we live before God, the judge who's watching, and we say, my God has found me innocent. And that leads us to sing like my friends, to sing like we're singing today, and to sing before God forever with all of those who have been declared saints and now made saints through faith in Jesus. We sing, to God alone be the glory. Let that cry fill the silence. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.